Working Cows Podcast, Episode 43.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. This is Clay Connery, the host of the Working Cows Podcast. Today, we have a little bit different episode for you. Dallas Mount, who inspired this podcast, I've talked to him a couple times, talked about him many times. Just a guy that challenged me in a group of other people. There was all of us there at the High Plains Ranch Practicum, and he challenged all of us that somebody should start a podcast, and I decided I would go ahead and do it. He texted me earlier last week and said, hey, it's your turn. I'm going to interview you. So that's about all the information I got from Dallas. And we're going to sit down with him and have a discussion. And there's nobody else I would rather turn the reins over to. So I will turn the reins over to Dallas Mount.
Well, Clay Conray, nice to have you here. I'm excited to interview you. I'm Dallas Mount. I was the first guest on the Working Cows podcast and was recently driving down the road listening to the Working Cows and thought, you know who we need to interview is Clay. And so I sent him a quick text and said, hey, it's your turn. And reluctantly, you agreed. Is that right?
Yeah, it's always a little scary to be on the other side of the questions, for sure.
Well, we're going to learn your story a little bit today, and just like to tell, I've got a cold. I'm on about day three of it, so if I sound a little hoarse, that's what's going on. But excited to be here, Clay. Tell us about your background. What's your background in agriculture? Where did you grow up? What's been your role, and how has that changed over time?
Born and raised in Western South Dakota. I don't ever remember a time when we didn't have cows around. My parents both had in-town jobs. My dad kind of started, I think, working in feedlots and stuff when he was younger, 18, 19 years old, and then real young, 20 years old or so, he went to work for, I think at that time it was probably Northwestern Bell, and it's been about five other things since then. Now it's CenturyLink, the phone company, and so that was kind of how he financed his ranching habit. Growing up, I think we had about 30 cows around pretty much all the time, and just ran on some leased ground here and there. When I was in high school, that herd grew to a couple hundred. I remember Dad and I calved out a couple hundred cows by ourselves in high school. And then when I went off to college, I think it might have shrunk back down to 100 or so. There was no more kids at home, so the labor force left, and the skid steer came in, and a couple of those new spigots came in, so we weren't bucketing water from one place to the other anymore. And, you know, it's funny how that stuff happens. But and then my dad retired in 2008 from the phone company, and the cow herd grew again. So he's got that retirement, and his cow herd is back up to a couple hundred cows. And so then I came back from college and I started working some different jobs. We got married. My wife and I got married in 2006 and worked different jobs for a couple of years, and then started at a church in December of 2006. So I got married in August of 2006. And I started at a church in December of 2006, been full-time there ever since, up until a year ago now. I guess it would be a year in August. I started working for my dad part-time on his ranch, and bought some cows of my own, and just kind of working my way into more and more involvement on the place. So I'm with my dad 2 days a week, 2.5 days a week, and I'm at the church 2 days a week. So, and then the podcast on top of that. So,
So what did you go to college for? Did you, were you interested in ag, or was that in theology? Or
yeah. So I've shared this before. I'll share it again. But growing up, I kind of resented the cow herd because every weekend was taken up by them. And, you know, it was come home, get off the school bus, start the chores, try to get them done before dark. You know, in the winter, that was hard. But, you know, in the summer, we had a lot of time to work. So might have been time spent in the hayfield or whatever. So I went to school for, I got a 2-year degree, just a Bible degree, basically the Bible school I went to, they take you through every chapter of the Old Testament and every verse of the New Testament in 2 years. So there's not a lot of time for other studies. So it was just a Bible school. And that was what my degree was in. But I, like I said, when I left, I didn't have a lot of interest in ranching. And I guess that desire to be involved again on the ranch has come about as a result of being involved kind of where I could pick and choose what I wanted to do. I could choose to be involved at branding time. I could choose to be involved in calving out heifers, which means sleeping on my parents' couch or binge watching Netflix on my parents' couch, as it were, and checking every couple hours. So, you know, I got to choose where I wanted to be involved, and I just, I guess it got in my blood. And so here I am back on the ranch.
So let me get your perspective on how you see the ranch as you came back to it here in the last few years and have involved in a part-time. As you look at the ranch from your perspective now, what kind of things do you need to challenge? What kind of things do you pat yourselves on the back and say, yeah, we're doing these things well? What's your perspective on how the business is going? Where are some of your strengths and some of your weaknesses?
I think probably the productivity versus profitability mindset is the number one thing that we are fighting to break free from, I guess. You know, that pounds weaned per cow, you know, is something that is still a big deal, I guess, and top in the market and being recognized in the newspaper and on the market report on the radio as having, you know, a strong showing set of calves and some stuff like that. I suppose that's probably the biggest one for us.
As you've broached that with your dad and with the others involved in the business, how's that conversation gone?
It's been good. You know, I recognize my position, you know, as somebody who my personality is, I'm pretty opinionated, and I try real hard to broach those subjects with kid gloves or very, very cautiously and not be nagging all the time saying we got to do this, because, you know, there's a lot I don't know still. I'm still learning a ton, you know, and I'm good in a corral. I'm decent on a horse, but I'm learning the business side of it, you know, and that's, so I try not to make a whole lot of recommendations in those regards. But I do, you know, when my opinion's asked, I'll give it. And, my dad is very receptive. My dad started from nothing in the ranching industry, you know, he's learned all of it himself. He didn't come from a ranching background. He's first generation to own cows, and you know, so he's learned it all himself. So he's very open to a lot of different new ways of thinking. But he's also been doing it for 35 years, and he's got a lot of perspectives on how those things could go wrong, or how, you know, that's maybe not going to be something we can do right now, but it's something that we can work towards, you know. So we talked about this on the phone, and I mentioned it when I talked to Luke Perman, you know, that when you go through something like the High Plains Ranch practicum, it's easy to get like you said, a Pollyanna view, and I said, you know, everything's solved by some poly wire and some step-in posts, but that's not really the case. You know, those things are tools that we can use to increase our efficiency and some of those things, but without a good business model, without a good set of business analytics, you know, you can still mess up using those things and not all the good technology in the world is not going to fix your issues.
Well, I appreciate what you said. I think it's important that we balance the respect for those that have come before us and honor what they've built while being able to bring new ideas into the business and consider change and look at change. And that's the challenging thing, is walking that line. You know, if all you do is do what you've always done, well, at some point the business will fail. But if people come in and say, well, get out of the way, it's my turn and we're going to change all this, then that's not a way to run a business either. There's a balance between those two things. What's your role in the business? You said you work a couple days, two and a half days a week. Do you have some ownership in the cows? What's your role in the business right now?
Yeah. So my dad and I bought, some bred heifers together, this last year. I bought, 8. And my dad bought some, and so we had an opportunity to apply some Bud Williams marketing techniques, I guess, and we sold a few of those when the market was right on them, and we did really well on that, so that felt good to apply some of that overvalued and undervalued, you know, to our own operation and see it work. So right now I'm at 6. Well, my son owns one. We went and helped a neighbor ship his calves, and he's been a family friend forever and very generous to the ranching community in our area. We helped him ship his calves, which just was, I drove a pickup trailer and drove it to the sale barn. It was a very easy day, and he took my son and I aside, my sons and I aside, and he said, thanks for helping, here's a heifer calf. And he gave us, you know, I mean, he topped the market that day with some 700 pound calves, and he just gave us one of them, and so that was a huge blessing to us, and we really appreciated that. And we got her bred and took her to the fair this year and showed her down there. So I guess I've got 6 cows and then that bred heifer and a milk cow. So
right.
That's raising a couple of calves right there on my little, as my wife calls it, our funny farm.
Do you have other siblings involved in the business? What's the future look like if we fast forward 10 years?
Sure. My brother runs his own ranch business, and then he's also working in North Dakota, running a few roustabout crews and doing some other different contracting in the oil patch. So yeah, it's a ranching habit for him, you know, more than a ranching business, but that is where his passion's at. You know, that's what he loves to do is be out on a horse with cows and stuff like that. So, as far as the future, my brother and I both recognize that our parents don't owe us anything. And, if they decided that they wanted to sell everything they own and move to town and travel for the rest of their life, that's their prerogative. You know, they are welcome to do that. My parents have shared with both of us that their goal is to give us, to have something to hand down to us. We're not saying that's ours or we are entitled to it, you know, or anything like that. I think we've had some conversations around those things. I don't know how intentionally we've gotten, but we've definitely had some conversations.
Good for you. So let me step back a little bit from your role in your business, and let me ask you about your learning journey over the past couple of years. And maybe it started before I got to know you, but I got to know you through the ranch practicum, and then I've watched you and listened to interview some of these industry leaders over the last year. What have been some things? First of all, what's been the initiation for that spark? Why have you gone out and sought this continuing education and really taking it to the next level with what you've done with Working Cows? What's been the motivation for that?
I distinctly remember sitting with my dad and my brother and hearing them have a conversation. This was probably like 3 or 4 years ago, and I'd just been, you know, armpit deep in church work for the last 10 years up to that point. And I distinctly remember sitting there listening to a conversation between my dad and my brother, and they were just talking about something as simple as body condition score. And I was like, I have no idea what that means. You know, I grew up on a ranch, but I don't remember that being a conversation. I don't remember being concerned about the body condition score of the herd going into breeding. I don't remember any of that. I was just a laborer, you know? And so, when it came time for me to consider getting more involved at the ranch, I knew I was at a serious deficit as far as knowledge was concerned. And so, my dad and my brother are both incredibly busy. And so there's this High Plains Ranch practicum ad. My dad's like, you should go to that. my brother's like, yeah, you should go to that and take notes, and then we'll sit down and have discussions and debrief as a family when you get back. And, so yeah, that was kind of how that started. But I think for me, it was just, I recognize that I'm at a serious deficit as far as understanding the technical side of a ranch operation, and I need to figure something out. So
maybe you were left wanting more, because we don't spend a lot of time at the ranch practicum talking about what I call cow mechanics. You know, how to AI, how to preg check, how to, you know, do all that kind of stuff. We spend a lot of time on the business management side and the people side, as you remember. But,
No, so, I'll step in and defend your honor there. I don't think that's true at all. I think you guys cover the stuff that needs to be covered, as you have said on the podcast, and I don't know how many times you say it in the school, but cowmen are cowmen. They're good at production. They're good at those things, you know. We need to get better at the economic analysis. We need to get better at understanding, should we do it, before we talk about how are we going to pay for it and some of those things. So, you know, that's been a huge asset for us as far as those pieces that you guys spend so much time on being the pieces that we need for sustainability in the industry. You know, yeah, we aren't handing ranches down to the second generation, third generation, fourth generation, because it's not profitable. When it's not profitable, it's not fun. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a leisure one more. I was just thinking as you were saying that, I did my trip in Australia. Australian ranchers refer to themselves as graziers. And I think that's kind of an interesting distinction between cattle producers and like what we call ourselves. You know, well, we produce cattle. Well, they're graziers. Their byproduct of that happens to be cattle production. But I think that's a different paradigm, different way of looking at it. So let's go back to the education side. So after you left the ranch practicum, you decided to bite off of this chunk of doing these podcasts and interviewing some industry leaders in this. What was the motivation to that? And what have been some of the big ahas and eye-opening things as you talk to some of these folks?
The motivation was you. every class period, I think you said somebody needs to start a podcast for ranchers. And you know, I've told this story before, but I had the experience. I had the technical understanding. I knew how an audio interface worked. I knew how to get audio from a microphone into a computer. I knew how to upload audio to a website. I had a little bit of audio editing experience, although there's a lot more to editing a podcast than there is editing a sermon. You know, I still don't edit for content. I wouldn't do that in either case, but I do edit for breaths and, you know, some of the coughing or whatever, you know, some of that stuff gets taken out. So I had all that knowledge. That was the, I guess what I would say is the barrier to entry for most people, just from being on staff at a church for 10 years. So, I just kept thinking, I could do that. I could do that. And every time you would say it, my heart would skip a beat. I'm like, I guess maybe I should do that. So, I just dove in and did it. And, it's been a great experience, and I really enjoy it. I mean, I guess my takeaways early on were adaptability. It seemed like every episode for quite a while we were touching on adaptability. You got to be able to change. You got to be able to analyze market and weather and all these different things and adapt and change so that you can remain profitable and remain sustainable and some of those things. I'd have to think a little bit about some of the recurring themes or things that I've been taking away recently. I think I've been so busy with just spring and summertime jobs that I've been lucky to get a podcast out every week. So I haven't had a lot of time to reflect, I guess, but it's still been a very good opportunity to network and to connect with people, and the willingness of industry leaders to just come sit down for an interview has been awesome. You know, I haven't had any trouble. I've had one person turn me down flat, and the other one said, I'll think about it. And I've been so busy with the people who said yes that I haven't had time to go back and grovel to get those other people to come on. So, you know, it's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, you've had a lot of people on that are, you know, work for high wages when you ask them to come out and consult on a ranch for a day. So it's been nice. They've been willing to donate their time. You know, to me, it's flattering when somebody calls up and says, hey, I want you to come on my radio show. I think, wow, they want me, you know? And so you kind of feel flattered by it. So anyway, I'd encourage you to keep making those calls, even though it might seem intimidating to pick up the phone and call up somebody that you read about or hear about. I think they'll probably be like me and feel honored about it. So what, from your perspective, I mean, your audience that we're talking to here is probably some ranchers on the front end of things, you know, the folks that are looking outside, they're looking forward, probably younger, although probably not exclusively that. I bet you there's some grizzled old graybacks that are hanging on here listening to this, but they're all looking forward and they're wanting to move their businesses forward. So share with us your perspective, Clay, as you look at the industry that we're in changing over the next, you know, these volatile markets. The trade is the hot thing now, and all these things, you know, from succession issues that we see piling up. What are some things that you see as you look forward that are going to be struggles for us? And if you could share some wisdom that you've had some insights on, what are some things you think businesses ought to do to position themselves to be successful?
My dad told me that when he was in a class in VoTech, or the vocational technology school, here, I think it was in Rapid City, back in the 70s or 80s, they said at some point in the future, a guy will own the cows, a guy will own the land, and a different guy will own the equipment. So there'll be three people involved in this relationship. And I think we're there. You know, we see a lot of custom haying happening on ground where people are, I can't afford to put that up. I can't afford to maintain the equipment because I don't have enough acres to justify that. So I will contract that out and buy it back on shares because it's cheaper than trying to maintain the equipment that I'm only going to use for, you know, depending on the year, a couple of weeks out of the year. You know, and maybe in a year like this, you did get 2 or 3 months out of it. And some of those dry land spots here in our area are getting two cuttings of hay. But still, if you do the math on the depreciation on that equipment, it gets really hard to pay for that equipment with those hay bales that it kicked out. I think that's been my number one takeaway. That's kind of where I want to go with my involvement in the ranching industry. I would like to go to more custom grazing, you know, seeking to control land rather than own land, seeking to allow somebody else to have the capital investment, and I will take care of the animals, you know. That's kind of where I'm at as far as just from a getting started standpoint. It gives you a foot in the door, gives you the networking context, and it gives you the experience without a lot of the risk. And I guess that's kind of where I've come down on what the future looks like for me, and I think is probably common to a lot of people who are looking to get started in the industry.
What is a successful custom grazer going to look like? What kind of skills do you need to have, and what kind of results do you need to produce?
I think maybe the out of the box answer to that question is people skills. You need to be able to maintain relationships with the owners of cows. You need to be able to maintain relationships with owners of land. You need to be able to find new cows, new land, and because that's going to be a constantly changing thing. And so it's, you're going to have to be able to maintain those relationships. And I think I remember hearing somebody on a very early episode of the Working Cows podcast say that the primary barrier to success in the ranching industry is the people barrier. So I do think that's a true statement.
I think you're spot on. Sounds like wise information there. All right. Well, you know, I think we're kind of wrapping this up. There's a few things I'd like to say on behalf of all the listeners of the Working Cows podcast. To me, it's a breath of fresh air. When I want to hear somebody talk about the industry in a forward-looking way, I put on the Working Cows podcast. When you catch industry news, it's all fear. It's all reactive. It's all, what have the markets done? What has the weather done? What's the government out to get us this time on? And to me, that's not inspiring. That creates disharmony in your head and in your mind, and doesn't allow you to think forward about where am I going to take my business. But when I pull on the Working Cows podcast, I know I get to hear from somebody that's pushing the envelope, and I get to hear from somebody that's not trying to sell me anything and is sincere about helping me learn something. So I think your other listeners probably feel the same way. So from all of us out here in Radio Land, a big thank you and a big pat on the back to you for taking the effort to make this happen.
That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate it. I love it. I'm having so much fun just talking to people, asking them questions. I don't know if I ever ask stupid questions, but I really enjoy the opportunity that these people have given me to sit down and just pick their brains, you know, and I, most of them have said, yeah, I want, there's more I have to say, so please call back again. And I've got an interview in the works right now with one of those guys who's going to come on again, who's been an industry leader for a long time. And when I sent him an email, said, would you come back on and talk about this recent blog post of yours? He said, of course. You know, it wasn't even a, yeah. So it's been really great. And I appreciate you challenging me to do it. And I'm looking forward to it. It's been a really great journey, and I said it before, I'll say it again, the best is yet to come for the Working Cows podcast. So I'm excited cool. about what's happening.
All right. So there's two questions I have for you. First of all, I'm looking at you here on a video feed, and I noticed your headphones are held together with masking tape. Is that what that is?
Yes, sir. I found these headphones in the bottom of a box at church, but they're the most comfortable headphones to wear for long periods of time, which I do a lot of. Right. So,
and I think you have an Amazon wish list that's out there. So if people that are fans of the Working Cows podcast want to send you a thank you, they can find something that you're in need of and do that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I've been totally blown away by the generosity of my audience. It's been amazing. So I really appreciate you mentioning that. I really appreciate the just the generosity. I've received a lot of really nice gifts, and I keep having to delete things off my Amazon wish list and add new things, and it's been amazing. So thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. I'm glad there's been good response to that. The second thing is, you've been hinting at some big news for the Working Cows podcast, and either I missed the episode where you made the announcement, or you have yet to make the announcement. Am I going to be able to pull that out of you, or are you going to hold that?
The third. So the announcement is, I'm waiting on a third party for that announcement, for one of them.
All right.
The other one is, I'm trying to start a private Facebook group where we can get together and continue discussions that are started by the podcast or have different discussions. So I have a video that I shot for that announcement that got eaten when my phone died. So I need to get out and reshoot that video. So other than that, I've got a guest that I'm really excited about for episode 50, but I'm just going to keep teasing that. So,
all right. Sounds good. Well, Clay, thanks for your time today. It's been an honor to interview you, and keep up the great work. And I look forward to what you have yet to come.
Yeah. Thank you for making me do it. I appreciate this interview was something, like I said, it's always a little nerve wracking to be on the other side of the questions, but I appreciate you having the idea. And there's nobody I'd rather turn the reins of the Working Cows podcast over to. So,
all right. Well, thanks, my friend.
Yep. Thank you. Well, I appreciate Dallas's kind words. And if you wanted to find that Amazon wish list, you can check out workingcows.net/43. There will be a link there. And just really have been enjoying myself on this journey. Next week on the show, got a pretty exciting show lined up with Kit Farrow. We're going to talk about some exciting developments around their operation. So tune in next week for episode 44 of the Working Cows podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.